Heavenly Father, what a joy we have to celebrate another July 4th birthday of America's independence. It is wonderful, and we do not have a king or a queen to rule over us. We have a form of government that is a republic with democratic elections, and we love America and its form of government. Lord God, thank you for the liberty that we enjoy in America, and thank you for our Christian heritage. In Jesus' name, amen. How interesting it is that we are a nation of laws, and in the world is also a world of laws. And somehow we have a little field of legality that everyone has to go through. We also have legal traditions that have started in Europe, well, really pretty much England, and it goes for all sorts of laws. Our common law is from England. There's maritime law that is also the basis of international maritime law, and that's largely out of England also. We have the tradition of the Magna Carta, when noblemen in England demanded rights from the king, and eventually those rights expanded to the people of England, and it started from giving rights to the nobles, but it ended up giving rights to the people. And that was started out of a threat to the King of England, saying that if you don't give the nobles several rights, then we're going to kill you, Mr. King. So that was the beginning of rights. And over the next centuries, yes, the English laws extended to many of those rights to the common people. So that's how law has developed in a way. And today, we thankfully enjoy a Bill of Rights in the United States of America. It has taken centuries to develop that tradition. And today, we think of how do we change the system we have to make it better. Often enough, we think of letters. Often, we think of peaceful protests. And often enough, we do get changes for the better, but we have to remember that behind it all has been force. Force to force the authority, or the king, to allow the people rights. Now that's happened throughout history. It's a historical pattern. Power is transferred when it is demanded based on force. And we have seen that in our recent history in the United States. Well, you remember the Black Lives Matter protests. things changed a little bit when they got violence involved and they used force. Now, in the 1960s, many of us will remember the peaceful civil rights marches, but how many remember how prevalent the presence of guns were? It was black men with guns. And then changes happened. Now, I don't mean to say anything except we must say stay peaceful, and I do advocate peaceful change. But as a historian, I know that there are times when the only way changes occur is when they are brought about by a determined people. Often enough, that determination has force behind it. That's just what history shows us. And if you look back to Americans' tradition of the Boston Tea Party at the time of the American Revolution, that was something that had force behind it in a way. Just like the English Magna Carta had force behind it. So, in these days, we have to realize that perhaps force is needed to bring change about. Now, probably just the demonstration of the willingness to use force is going to be enough to bring about change. And certainly, that is what I would hope, because I like peaceful everything, but I do, as a historian, know that to have force behind a demand often has a result that a peaceful march does not. In fact, if you look at the peaceful marches in recent history, you look at the March for Life. Did that change anything in our legal system? No, it really didn't. We have had peaceful marches, and the authorities feel free to ignore them. Now, that's been going on all over the world when you've had protests against, the COVID-19 mandates. Now, that has been something that really has gone around the world from Mexico to South America to Europe to Africa to Greece to all over. And did the big, large protests of hundreds of thousands of people, did it make any changes? Not really. And did we need a change? That's a matter of individual discernment, a question. We all have our own opinion. But I only mean to say that there are times when a protest must have the ability to have force behind it, not that we need to use force. I would never advocate that. But it can be something that is required to bring change about. Now, we do have laws, and we are a nation of laws. But sometimes the laws are not just or fair, and you look back over the centuries and you can see that. A nation of laws, now laws mean written laws, and you can say that it starts with the Ten Commandments that were written by stone. Sure, that those were written laws, and those were important to the development of mankind and a relationship with God, of course. And there are other civilizations in the past that have had a written code also. I think back to the Code of Hammurabi. That was written on a stone, and that was a couple thousand years before Jesus. See, written laws are always important, and so was a court that would enforce the laws that were written. And that's something we are dealing with today. How do we enforce the laws? Are we going to let some people be required to follow the laws and other people not, that they can pull down statues or do whatever they want in the streets of America? Well, we have an issue going on, which is unequal justice, and it's something we have to be aware of. Now, we have always a battle between the powers of good and the powers of darkness. That's been going on in America since the very beginning of America. You see that there are patterns in the cities, for instance, of America that have dark spiritual origins. And that's something which shows the fight there has been between the powers of good and the powers of darkness. And so that's been going on for as long as America has been a country, and far before that, many of those signs and symbols come out of, Rome, and before that, out of Egypt. That's a part of what is going on, and we have to just kind of be aware of it all, because, well, if we're not aware of it, we aren't able to address the issue or even to protest the issue. So this is one of those things that we are very wise to look at and to pay attention to. Now, a couple of months ago, we had, I think I'll just go back a week ago, because a week ago, there was an event where the Georgia Guidestones was, something happened, and it appears that they were blown up in a way, and that is going to bring a change to the Georgia Guidestones. They are a symbol of evil. And, that's right, I said this just a couple of months ago. I talked about them a little bit and addressed their first so-called law written on those big stones, which was to maintain the Earth's population at 500 million. Now, if that was to actually be put into effect, that would mean billions of people would have to die. In fact, 14 out of 15 people now alive on planet Earth would have to die to achieve a 500 million population of Earth. So, it's so strongly a examination of good versus evil, or God versus Satan. And now, if you look, you will see it too, but everybody looks at different things, so we have different opinions. But people often, all over the world, struggle with what is going on right in front of their eyes, and they struggle with tradition. It's something we all do, and we are learning to deal with all of it. It takes time often enough to define your positions, though. Let me think. So going back a little bit, like in the last 100 years, we have seen philosophy one way or another that was either honored or disappeared. And it has to do with our education. It has to do with what we understand our belief system to be as we search out for definitions. And I've always liked the phrase, we have had this conflict with civil government, or just plain with government and the king, but I have always liked the phrase, no king but Jesus. And this is important, that we place Jesus first in all of our life and life experience. I mean, that's just what we want to do and that we want to deal with. So, this was last month. I was thinking about Flag Month, Flag Day, and I always thought it was interesting that our country's flag is actually a flag of war. Now, America also has a peace flag, which is really pretty different from the flag we all look at and pretty much have flying every place. It has a little different color of all of it, including the stars and the stripes. And it's a little different configuration, but it is interesting to note that there is a war flag and a peace flag, and if there is a war flag flying over a house or a building, then an invading force or army has the right to treat that dwelling or that building as a something of war, which is belonging to one side or another. Well, this is just a little, how did I get into this? This is a little discussion about law and how we are a nation of laws, but we also can change the laws of man, but we cannot change the laws of God. That is something which we know from studying history. God's Ten Commandments are set in stone, and we cannot disobey them without great pain. But the United States has other laws that are changed from time to time. Sometimes there are politicians that change the laws and change the rights. Let's see, just a couple of months ago, that guy Biden comes to mind, and he said that no amendment is absolute when he was referring to the Second Amendment. And then, between then and now, he said that the right to abort your baby must be upheld. And I just thought it was so interesting how he would say one right can't be changed and another right must be upheld, and that if needed, he would uphold the latter one by executive order. So it just makes me think of how law has changed over time and how we have had rulers over us, kings and rulers, and often enough, now in the United States government, we have people who think they are kings and can order this or that. Well, I hope you give it a little examination and a little prayer to see how you stand on this issue and what you want to support, and or even what power within our U.S. government we want to support. Do we want a king? Hey, that reminds me of the decrees that have been issued by Biden. And one of them was to open up our strategic oil reserve and give oil or sell oil to other countries like China, India, and Europe. Now, at the time when Biden said, let's open up the strategic oil petroleum reserve, he said that it was to lower the prices of gasoline and diesel in the United States. Well, that has hardly happened. And instead, we have pulled out roughly 1 million barrels a day out of our strategic petroleum reserve and sold it to countries like China and India and Europe. So, I don't know how that strikes you, but it strikes me as a very not good idea. And I thought, well, if we're going to give some oil away, why don't we get it from some source that we can still fill up our strategic petroleum reserve? In other words, if we can, reopen the XL pipeline and distribute that. Now, Biden closed the XL pipeline, and probably that was a pretty poor thing to do for the United States economy. Well, perhaps Biden has done more harm to our economy by doing what he has done than if it had been intentional. Because we are suffering in this country and from rising prices, including oil and gasoline, but we are also having inflation that is hitting the country just terribly. There's a lot of people who have an analysis of what is going on in our economy, And they are suggesting that we could see oil prices climb in the near future. Like the equivalent made it turn out to be $15 a gallon gasoline. And that's just something which analysis is looking at. So what are we going to do? Are we going to continue to supply China and other countries with oil? India? Europe? Maybe. But let's remember what happens when we have shortages. Sure, prices go up, but also if there is not enough of anything, we have rationing. Rationing. That's what happened in World War II. Coffee was rationed. Tires was rationed. Gasoline. Sugar. All sorts of protein foods were rationed. And the government sent ration books to every citizen so they could have at least a little bit of whatever it was. Meat, gasoline, tires, just anything. That's a part of the fact that comes with shortages. And what are we doing? We are creating shortages by how we have made our economic supply system. And remember, most of our medical and pharmaceuticals, such as antibiotics and antidepressants, come from China. Some are made in India as well, but by far mostly they come from China. And we are having a kind of an issue with China over Taiwan. They are preparing for war with the United States. So what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to have shortages of everything? It's a good question. It's a good question, and we don't know the answer, but we sure know it could be. So it only makes sense to me to have a little preparation of the things that we need to live. And certainly that starts with water and food and warmth, and that includes clothes. Now, sure, energy, gasoline, of course, all those things. If you are going to store it, be sure to store it safely. It's a very big danger to store gasoline. But that's something you get to decide on how to do and what to do. We do get lessons right out of the Bible that tell us what we can do to be wise. And a part of that is the economy. And also we have to remember that it's been shown by historians that history repeats. So what's going to happen? Well, I know I always think of the days of Noah and the days of Lot and what's going to happen in those days. I always wonder if we're going to have giants and spiritual demons come to the earth like it was in the days of Noah. I wonder if we're going to see widespread sexual sin like in the days of Lot. So I see those things and I wonder, how are we going to put the words of the Bible into understanding of what is coming? Speaking of the words of the Bible, we have to look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but Matthew chapter 24 describes it the best when he describes wars, famine, and disease throughout the world. And that will come before the end of the age. And we don't have a year attached to it, but we do see the signs indicating that the end of the age is closer than we would think. And it only makes sense that we would have some preparation for some shortages that seem certain to be coming. And I think of the most basic things that we need: water, food, and warmth. And with Europe, it seems as though the gas lines from natural gas from Russia are going to be shut off. In fact, they already have been. So they're going to have a cold winter coming ahead, and I don't know what they're going to quite do, but it's something that we have to remember. We live in this world, and we are affected by what is going to go on in the world. Now, one of the things the Bible also predicts is that pharmakia will increase, And that relates to drugs. And if you look at our society or even the whole world, we can see that drug use has continued to expand and expand and expand. It doesn't speak of it as being a good thing either. It speaks about it as being a huge problem, a spiritual problem, which will affect the physical life. Well, I guess that's what I see, affecting the physical life. But you look and you read the Bible and see what you think. Because that is what so much of what we do is to understand and seek understanding from the Bible. And then apply it to our life today. And we can see that it's pretty certain that hard times are going to be coming in short order. But we don't have a year. We don't have a date. All we have is the signs that indicate that things are going to happen pretty quickly. And that means that there are more and more people talking about a rapture. Oh, yes, so many pastors teach that. And they might be correct in it, but the timing, we don't know. That's a mystery, the timing. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, it's a mystery. The Bible is not clear on it. But there's a lot of preachers who want to tell us that you don't have to worry about hard times coming because we are not destined for the wrath of God. Certainly that's true, but look in the past. Look at the things that have happened. There have been persecutions of millions of people. There have been famines and natural disasters. There are things that we can prepare for that are not the Great Tribulation, but it just shows wisdom to prepare for some hard times. That's what I think. And sure, you pray, you read the Bible, and see what you can understand about all of this. Surely, I don't have all the answers, and I don't think anybody does. But if you seek the truth and pray to God, even fast and pray, then you will probably see things that other people might not. Just make sure it is all lining up with the Bible. That's something we as Christians must always do. Sure, we have a rapture. The timing is uncertain. But I hope that you can find the answers that you want to understand. That is just something we all do. Pray and seek understanding from the Bible. Well, the Bible has been written to us so that we can understand the events of the future and events of this time. I hope you can see what is going on in the world around us. Now, yes, we can use the Bible, and yes, we can just use our sensibility to see what is going on around us. And we can see that the end of the age draws closer and closer. So let's take advantage of whatever is available so that we can get through whatever difficulties are coming. I think that's a wise thing to do, and I hope that we all do it. You all do it, too. Everybody does it. It only makes sense. We have vast numbers of people in our country that are preparing for a huge disaster. And the government also is all prepared for a huge disaster. They have underground protective areas with much water and much food and much entertainment. It's huge what the government has done to protect the leaders of the country. But they don't warn us. Now, all over the world, countries have warned their citizens that they should prepare for shortages of water and food, but the United States government does not. They hardly tell the people in government to prepare. That's because there are already facilities which are prepared for the high levels of government to ensure that government and the people in government will continue. Well, we all get to look at things and seek understanding. That's what we do. You may have a different understanding from me, and I may have a different understanding from other people. But I know that as I've traveled around the world, I've seen the signs coming that show really hard times for the people. And I see those patterns repeating. And that's why I call out a warning, because I see the patterns repeating that I've seen all over the world. In history, yes. In my reading and studies, yes. And also in my travels. I've traveled quite a bit, and I've seen these patterns repeat. And so I shout out a warning, and I say, look out, we just might have some trouble coming our way. And I think of Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12, and this describes the wise who see trouble coming and gets out of its way. And I say, let's each one of us try to do that. How do we get out of the way of trouble? Well, by preparing for what is coming. And as I just said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at the end of the age, they each describe war, famine, and pestilence, and more. But that's something that we can prepare for. So if you don't know how to prepare for war and pestilence, well, I think everybody knows how to prepare for famine, and that means you get some food. You get long-term food. That's, I think, what we all think about doing and want to do as a way of preparing for that just in case. Now, we all have eyes to see. Are we going to look at the history of the world? Are we going to look at the history of the Bible? Well, I think it's reasonable to say look out, because that's what's coming. We have warnings in history. We have warnings in the Bible. It talks about events happening, and many of these events are right in front of us, and many of them are not. But we see the signs that indicate, complications. I mean, here's one just that's going on right now. By the end of the middle of the month, there will be California AB5 will take effect, and that requires all truckers to be either in a union or employed by a company. Therefore, the 7,000 owner-operated trucks in California will not be allowed to operate on the roads. That was because of our legislator, California legislatures, passing AB5. That was a while ago, but now it's taking effect. And this just means that it's another example of what is coming our way. Call it complications, call it troubles. Either way you want to call it, it's in that area. We are headed for a time of additional stresses and strains on us. Everybody's feeling the stresses and strains. You look at the young people, they feel the stresses and strains, and some of them don't know what to do, so they seek counseling. And often enough, they're giving a SSRI drug, which distorts their perception of reality. And somehow we have these drugs being prescribed to many young people, and the effects are uncertain. But a lot of people think that one of the effects is to cause an understanding that is not real of reality. And it also causes people to embrace a violent behavior, especially the young men. That's an argument for why there have been shootings in the schools lately. Now, when people are feeling such great anxiety, often enough they want to self-medicate. I think the self-medication just might be what happened with that Olympic athlete. that was arrested in Moscow for drug possession. She had a vial of hashish oil, and perhaps that is okay in some other countries, but in many parts of the world, it can bring a 10-year prison sentence, which just might be what happens to that young athlete. Anyway, again, I would say Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12, which says the wise see trouble coming and avoid it. We do have many warnings of what is going to come, and it comes in different areas of whatever it is that we see in front of us. Let's see. One of the, I think the biggest thing that I see as a warning is if we are departing from God. That's a great big trouble. And we see in the country we have kicked out God from all sorts of things. We want to remove the name of God from all sorts of things. So, yeah, it's a spiritual problem that is taking place in our physical world. Troubles, troubles, troubles have to be coming from that occurrence. And it's not that I know really what they are. It's just that that's what happens when you remove God. Then you only have the strong influences of evil that you are prepared to listen to. So yeah, be aware. Be aware. There's a couple of worldly warnings that have been issued in the last few days. One of them is by the Bank of England. Oh, Andrew Bailey of the Bank of England. He said that the Bank of England has sent out to associated banks around the world saying to brace yourself for a severe economic storm. Expect high volatility and difficult times ahead. So, is that what the Bank of England sees? I know there's other people who see similar things, and it's that release started out with brace yourselves, and I think of that Kentucky pastor Dana Coverstone, when some months back he had those strong words to brace yourself for a collapse of what is coming. A collapse is coming, and he said that in his dream he saw those words, brace yourself, very strongly. So, interesting that the Bank of England representative would start off his message with brace yourselves for a severe economic storm with high volatility and very difficult times ahead. I guess he just said difficult times ahead, not very difficult, but from our perspective, it would be very difficult times. And then our own Federal Reserve released its meeting notes of one of the recent meetings, and it said that the U.S. dollar was expected to remain strong for the next 3 months. Can you believe that? For the next 3 years is what I would have expected. But no, the release said the dollar would remain strong for the next 3 months. That is not long at all. And what if they are just wrong by 1 month and we only have 2 months before our U.S. dollar shows signs of, deterioration, which really means a crash of our system. Our system could collapse in only 2 or 3 months. Well, so all that means to me is another indicator that hard times could be right around the corner. And what would that mean to you and the people you love? What would it mean to your family, your church, your neighborhood? Collapse? Well, that is not a pretty picture. If you look in history and you see the nations that have collapsed, they are, in a word, they are in panic and have been in panic, and sometimes it continues for decades. Not just years, but decades. And that's one of the things that is seeming to happen right now. We are not having a problem that is fixable. It's a problem that will stay permanent with our inflation and everything that that is affecting. So I'm going to go back to those words that those couple of people said. Andrew Bailey of the Bank of England and Dana Coverstone of the Kentucky Church. Well, brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. What does that mean? It means you're going to have some hard times coming. A storm is coming, and it's going to collapse a lot of things. So what do you think you should do if hard times are coming? Well, I always think of the most basic things, which is water, food, and warmth. But to go a little further, you might consider having walking shoes and socks, spare socks. You might have a backpack. You might have a little wagon to pull the stuff that you're getting from your stores or your neighbors or your water outlet. A little wagon can be very important. So we all have a different idea of what this kind of preparation means, and I can hardly even explain to you because it's different for each one of us. It might be wise to get a bicycle. It might be wise to get extra parts for the bicycle, certainly tires and tubes and brakes and a drive chain and, of course, a bike helmet. So there's just uncertain times, which is talked about by so many people, but we don't want to look at the uncertainty. We don't want to look at the pain that there could be. We want to believe that somebody else will take care of us. Come on, Mr. Government, take care of us. Give us what we need. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Government looks after their own needs, and they are all about continuing their positions of power and authority. They are not about giving the citizens relief. Look in the past, and you can see how very true that is. But a multi-pronged collapse certainly could be coming, and that just means we want to have some supplies for if it does happen. And sure, I don't like talking about collapse. I don't like telling you that it might be coming along very shortly, but it's something that is so real, and as I've studied history and gone to many foreign countries, I've seen a pattern. And I see things happening right now that are going to lead our country to collapse. It's not what I like to say. It's not that I like to look at it. I don't. But it's something which I have to speak about because that's what I see. And if you see it too, then you, please, get prepared for yourself and your family and for others. I mean, that's just what we do. We share the love of Christ, which is often enough having things to bless people with. And I just mean the simplest things like white rice. Sure, that's just one of the things that is a basic form to life. And we can get all sorts of things to eat with that. Salt and pepper, of course. But, oh, anything. Bouillon, sugar. Oh, you know what? Just look at a preparedness website and see what you can have on hand that will just last for years and years. I think that's the best thing. And I do like whole grains and an Immanuel wheat grinder for just in case things really do get bad. Yeah, that way you'll be able to make bread either in a Dutch oven, you know, a cast iron pot with a lid, or in your own oven. There's different ways to do things. And in the Great Depression of the 1930s, people learned all about how to make things and make do with what they had, even how to eat, even how to have company over and have food. Yes, it wasn't what we normally expect, but it still was food and it was fellowship. So that's something we might have to look into again, and I hope you do give it some consideration, because there's plenty of people who see that these hard times are going to come to our country. Food will be short, and everything will be wanting, from tires to fan belts for our cars to washers for our faucets. I mean, everything. We don't make much in our country anymore. We import it. And if there is a war, which quite a few prophetic people have talked about, a war with China and Russia occupying America. Well, if that happens, we really are going to be in a time of great want, great need, great despair. So just pay attention that it could happen, and therefore we will get a few things now so that we are not taken by surprise. Because surprises do happen. I mean, just look back a week ago, the July 4th weekend, people had booked airline flights. And what happened? 2,000 scheduled airplane flights were canceled. What a surprise. Nobody expected that, but it happened. And so we can have surprises of every kind that can happen to us here in the United States of America. Our great country could have supply shortages, could have runs on food. All sorts of things can happen. And so, another thing that happened about a week ago was those terrible shootings that went on. Oh, so awful. So awful. We pray for the school children killed and for their families. Oh, tragic indeed. But see, that's another thing, unexplained, unexpected. Well, some people would say it's explainable by the stress and the drugs that were available and all sorts of things. What are we going to do? Are we going to go back to the old Western days and say everybody has to wear a gun and that way a shooter can be shot, stopped? I don't know. I don't know, but there are people that propose that, and somehow we had better look and see what people are proposing to see what could happen, and are we going to agree with it or support it or what? Or do we want our government to protect us? That's a position we've been in for decades. How they've been doing at it? Well, I know that in the big cities where basically no guns are allowed, that they have shootings every weekend. How do they get the guns? I don't know. How do they get the anger to shoot somebody? I don't know that either. But I mean that we have to be careful about what it is that we want, that we desire, and what our government is going to do. See, nobody wants violence in their life. But what causes violence? And that's a great big question. There's a lot of various opinions, from stresses and strains to the proliferation of knives and guns in society. Or what about computer games and video games that show violence all the time? There's a great bunch of people who say that is what's causing the violence. I don't know what it is. Probably it comes from many sources. And the other question is, what are we going to do about it? And what I suggest to each one who can hear this is that we consider embracing Jesus and expressing our faith in Jesus to everyone that we can meet. because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and as people embrace Jesus, obviously peace will grow. So that is my solution for the violence that's going on. Maybe it needs to be stopped by other men with guns. I don't know. I wonder about it too. But I know that every one of us are going to be facing a problem of increased violence with people we know, people we love. And we have to somehow figure out an answer as to how we're going to live in America with liberty and prosperity, and what we're going to do about the violence. Oh, what are we going to do about our Christian heritage that encourages and promotes Jesus and peace that is the peace of Jesus Christ? Well, this has been a tradition for hundreds of years, and obviously there's people who say, oh, the American tradition is regarding Jesus, and there's people who say the American tradition is, well, not at all about Jesus. And you know what? There's two forces that have been fighting, not only in the United States, but in the whole world. And yes, you can look and you can see how there are symbols of evil and symbols of God's goodness all over America. And somehow, we each have to believe in and trust in and promote one side or the other. What are we going to do? Promote evil or promote the goodness of God through Jesus Christ? I think it's important for each of us to choose how we're going to live. And a part of that is to be thankful for the freedom that we have. We have great freedom in the United States of America. Now, certainly our government watches all of us, and it still is not the same as, for instance, in China, where the government watches all the people, and if there are, they have great facial recognition in China, and if they see that there's two drug users in the same household, they get the police sent out. If there are four protesters that meet in a location, the police are sent out. So is that the kind of a world that we want to have, where we have a police that are sent out to investigate anybody who shows up on the facial recognition system or with our phones, cell phones, that report where we are and who is in proximity with us? We have a little question here and have to figure out what we are going to agree with that our government can do. Are we going to be protected to that degree that we are watched over completely, like in China? Well, yeah, we have some decisions to make, and I hope everybody actually makes a decision and has an input into what makes sense for our government to do. Russia and China obviously have a different idea about freedom and about the responsibility of the citizens and what the citizens need to do. I value the freedom we have. What about you? Are you willing to do what has always been done in this country, which is to be responsible for ourselves and our family and our food and our safety? You have to figure that one out for you. And it's going to be something that we all have to look at. What are we going to do? What laws are we going to obey? See, I just said earlier that we are a nation of laws. So does that mean we're going to obey the laws? Do you ever drive habitually 2 or 10 miles over the speed limit? Is that being a nation of laws? Is that parking right outside in a red zone just because you're going to go in and deliver something? A nation of laws. How much are you going to do that? Or are you willing to live with a little bit of disobedience of the laws so that you can have some disobedience of the laws? I don't mean I know the answer. I mean this is a question that we all have to ask ourselves and see what our relationship to government and law and Jesus Christ and God are. That's something we all have to ask or quit ourselves. So how obedient are we going to be to the laws of our nation? Oh, for that matter, how obedient are we going to be to the laws of earth and of heaven? I mean, for instance, would you rather do whatever you want on earth and in hell, or would you rather learn to be obedient to God and love God and love Jesus and do that in heaven? Okay, so in a way, that's a way that we choose heaven or hell by what it is that our heart desires. Do we want to be disobedient, or do we want to be obedient to God and the laws of God? I don't know, but it might be a way that we choose heaven or hell. And I hope that you make your choices and you live like you mean it. We have times right now that are certainly, people see times of trouble ahead. And if they are trouble, I hope that you get prepared, as having a preparation means that you can better deal with the trouble that's coming. And when we don't know what the trouble is, I don't know what the trouble is. I do read a lot. I do listen to people. And I have a pretty good idea of a number of troubles that are coming. But to say I know, no, I wouldn't do that. I would only refer to the Bible and say, the Bible knows. Matthew, Mark, and Luke as what is coming before the end of the age. Well, I hope that everybody looks around and sees what it is prudent for them to do to show their love to the people around them, because that's what we're supposed to do. Yes, love God, and yes, love your neighbor. I want to remind you that you can always listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org, and you can always get my free preparedness pamphlet by going to, by sending me a stamped self-addressed envelope, and then I'll send you my preparedness pamphlet. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927, and I will get that preparedness pamphlet back to you right away. It's something I've written to encourage people to look and see what they need or want to get ready for the just in case. So there's several situations and several answers that I talk about, and some people find it helpful. So anyway, you can write me for that. Send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. Oh, and any comments are also welcome. Or you might have a donation. That would be very great. Wonderful. So if you send me something, that would be just great too. Well, God bless everybody. Remember to pray for the people around us. That means the ones we love and the pastors and such as them. God bless you. We are kneeling, desperately seeking your